This is Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. Hello and welcome to Answers UK Radio. This is the radio program that looks at creation, Genesis and evolution. It's a podcasted radio program. You can obtain this program from aukpodcast.com. My name is Paul Taylor and I'm the senior speaker with Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. And this is episode 22 of the program. In this particular episode, I'm going to be telling you a little bit about some of the things that happened on my recent trip to the United States. We'll also be looking at how evolutionists and people who want to oppose the Christian faith often use hyperbole in trying to put their point across, how some of the things that they say can be slightly disingenuous, and we'll be looking at how we can unpick those things. And we'll also be previewing Carl Kirby's tour of England, which kicks off on Saturday. That's this Saturday, as I record this broadcast, Saturday the 12th of June in Halifax in Yorkshire, and he'll be travelling round then from going southwards and travelling round several venues in the south of England. So we'll find out a little bit about Carl and look forward to his visit with us. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 to 6.
This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water.
That passage mentions about scoffers appearing in the last days. And one of the things we know about such scoffers is their use of language, how they tend to use words in a way that we would find different from the way that we would use them. And this can be problematic, particularly when they speak about things as being factual, which we know are not factual. It can be very intimidating for many Christians who don't know the science behind these things to be able to reply to them. Well, I mean, just as an example, let's have a look at something being said by one well-known scoffer in the UK, the broadcaster, evolutionist, well-known atheist, and Knight of the Realm, Sir David Attenborough. And here he is talking about the Eder fossil and explaining why he believes that that is a missing link between primates and mammals.
And now people can say, OK, you say we're primates, like monkeys and apes, and that we came from very simple, generalised mammals. Show us the link. The link, they would have said, until now, is missing. Well, it is no longer missing.
Notice the certainty in his voice there. And what the scoffers will do is anything in their power, really, to change the question, to misrepresent the question in order to make their point. For example, listen to what Attenborough went on to say when he was talking about why he didn't believe that God had designed the world.
I can't believe that each species was brought into existence by a merciful God who cares about human beings for obvious reasons. I mean, for the fact that why is there so much pain? Why is there so much disaster? Why are some animals tortured in so many ways? Why are human beings tortured by all kinds of parasites? I can't believe that God created parasites in order to torture small children.
Of course, that's not the question that Attenborough was asked. He was being asked about the idea of design behind the universe, but he twisted that to talk about God having made parasites to worm into children's eyes
And that's clearly not what he was being asked about. So it's a way of dissembling information by changing the manner of the question. And we've seen this in other areas too. For example, I've got a clip here from an American television program called The View, somewhat similar to the British television program Loose Women, in which a number of ladies sit down around a desk and discuss various items of interest. In this particular clip, the ladies in The View are talking about education and whether creationism should be taught in schools. And what I need to listen to really is a speaker partway through called Joy Behar. She gives her views on whether creationism should be taught. She says that it shouldn't be. The reason given that she says because evolution is factual. But listen to what she has to say about those people who do teach creationism.
Because Darwinism is not some kind of a religious fervor thing. It's got, we have met, there's proof.
No, I'm saying
scientific proof. And you want your children to go into the world being ignorant of that?
No, I'm not. Come on. No, that's, but I'm saying
that's child abuse, in my opinion. No, that's...
Just listen again to the description Joy Behar gives about those people who teach creationism.
That's child abuse, in my opinion.
No, that's...
So there you have it. If you teach your children anything other than that evolution is a scientifically proven fact, you're guilty of child abuse. Marvellous. How did language really manage to get so far away from what the words really mean? Well, I said I'd be bringing you some news from my recent trip to the United States, and that's what I'll do now. The first weekend that I was there in May, I spoke at the Psalm 119 conference, and the talks that I gave there, along with the talks by Todd Friel, Phil Johnson, Peter Hammond, Justin Peters, and Emilio Ramos, they're being edited as we speak and will be available from the sponsoring organization, Wretched Radio, before too long. And I also spoke at a conference in Atlanta, did a couple of talks there, and those talks I'm going to be editing and making available through our Answers UK Ministry podcast. And in between the two weekends, I did some work with Wretched Radio and Wretched TV in Atlanta. And I thought I'd play you a bit of an excerpt from the conversations that Todd and I had on the radio. In this particular excerpt, we're talking about a billboard that we saw on the interstate, which just puts into a nutshell, really, some of the problems that we have with churches, not just in the United States, but similar problems in the United Kingdom as well.
You're going to love this, Paul. Did you see that you were down in Texas for the Psalm 119 conference?
It was a great conference.
Were you in the car? You went out to preach kind of in the sticks of Texas.
It was wonderful, yes, in Bryson.
You saw the billboard that said there's a guy, he's kind of standing there, and he's got his hand up in the air, and I think he's high-fiving the hand coming down from heaven, or he's doing the fist
pump. Oh, yes, the pastor there, Jason Hilliard, showed that to me. Oh, it's a shocking
billboard.
And
what was the caption?
Oh, dear me.
Dan, I got it.
Put me on the spot, I can't. Tell me, remind me.
God's got your back.
Oh, that was it. Oh, it was a two fingers down the throat moment. It was horrible.
Yeah, it really was terrible. Yes. And at the same time, though, let's make sure we understand this. As Christians, to advertise God that way is ridiculous. But as Christians, I'm not going to use the same phrase, but he's our covenant partner. And he says, vengeance is mine. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of your enemies. You don't need to do it. I will.
It's this idea, isn't it, that God's our big mate in the sky, and, you know, it's all backslapping fun and so on. And it's just this, just a complete lack of awe and reverence in front of a holy God.
Lost the transcendence. We've got the immanence part down. He's our pal. He's our buddy. He's our daddy. But the idea that he's big and that correct balance between the two.
Well, you've got to start with the first, because then when we say, you know, when you realize that God is the creator of the universe, and that's why it brings us back to this, and that God is so high and so mighty and so holy... What a wonderful privilege, then, it is that we do come into his presence and he gives us the right to call him Father. If you just have the latter, then you've just got a small God. You know, this idea that we can be real mates with God and we can call him Daddy this or whatever. There's no bigness of God. But yes, of course he's our Father. Of course he loves us. Of course he embraces us and brings us into his presence. And that is all the more precious because of who high and mighty he is, that he is the almighty creator God.
But we get to get into, if you will, a correct relationship with him and in his presence to approach the throne of grace and ask him for something? This is a little bigger than the cowardly lion in front of the Wizard of Oz.
It's frightening stuff, you know, that nobody could go into the Holy of Holies or they would be struck dead. And Jesus dies on the cross and the curtain in the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about God's our mate. We're talking about, yes, he's the Holy God and we have been granted, against all expectation and against what we deserve, we've been granted the right to come into his presence. That's the angle.
I'm okay with billboard stuff and bumper stickers and all of that and t-shirts, all fine if used rightly, but it's tricky business. I think it's almost harder to write a correct, theologically balanced presentation in a few words than it is to write a sermon. So these people who toss up a billboard because they think, come to my house for the game on Sunday. You know, okay, you know, it's funny, it's clever, but wow, it makes God a little bit on the puny side, and yes, we've just got to watch how we present him in sound bites, because he's not a soundbiteable God.
No, and I have a slightly irreverent thought here. How many people driving down the interstate see that billboard, stop their car on the side of the road and ring the number to ask how they might be saved?
Well, there'll be more from my time in the United States in subsequent episodes, but in the meantime, if you want to hear the rest of that particular broadcast, go to the wretchedradio.com website. That's wretchedradio.com and search for the broadcast on May the 20th. Coming up after the break, information about Carl Kirby's tour of England starting on Saturday, June the 12th in Halifax in Yorkshire.
Steve Hamm talks about his new book, In God We Trust.
We have the church trying to say, hey, believe in Jesus. But in relation to that, the disconnect is on what authority should people believe in Jesus? And this book deals with, hey, you know, we've got a gospel. Sometimes it's a hard message to deliver. And we better have it on good authority that it's a good message and a true message and a credible message. And it helps people to look at the gospel in relation to their own life and say, why do I believe this and what is behind it? And it's about turning to biblical authority to see the credibility and reliability of the gospel, but not only that, how accepting the authority of the Bible works out in our own life.
In God We Trust by Steve Hamm is available from answersingenesis.org/UK, price £8.50. You know the 10 basics that every creationist ought to know. Things like 6 literal days, radiometric dating, variety within created kinds, the uniqueness of man, distant starlight, global flood, dinosaurs on the ark, one race, suffering and death, and the gospel. This brief overview of the 10 basics that every creationist must know can be found in the latest issue of Answers Magazine, Volume 5, Number 2. Answers Magazine is a creationist and apologetics magazine available from Answers in Genesis at an annual subscription of £14. Get your copy today and subscribe to the world's leading creation and apologetics magazine, Answers Magazine, from answersingenesis.org/UK. Or phone us on 0116-270-8400.
Welcome back. Before the break, I was playing you an excerpt from an episode of Wretched Radio. And I said that after the break, we'd be talking about Carl Kirby's tour. Carl Kirby's tour of England kicks off on Saturday, June the 12th, in Halifax, at the King's Centre in Halifax. But just last week, there was a day when Todd Friel, the presenter of Wretched Radio, was out of town, and he occasionally gets other people to step in and take his programme for him. Well, one day last week, he got Ken Hamm from Answers in Genesis, the president and founder of our ministry, to step in and take the programme. And that programme is well worth getting hold of, so do look up on the wretchedradio.com website for that particular programme. But during Ken's programme, as he was presenting the programme, in one segment, he interviewed Carl Kirby, and that gives us some marvellous information about Carl's ministry and some interesting facts about him. So I thought we'd play that particular segment for you right now.
I grew up in a very liberal church, and when I got saved, I really struggled with this whole issue. And my first Sunday school teacher taught me that you just take evolution, you put it into the Bible, there's no contradictions. And so after I became a Christian, I was flying out to see my father in Portland. I was in the cockpit.
What were you doing in the cockpit? You're not a pilot.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange thing. I was an air traffic controller for a long time. And because of that job, I could fly in the cockpit for training. And so I was in the cockpit, and I started witnessing to the pilot and the co-pilot, and it was just great. They turned out to both be Christians, and I couldn't believe it. And so we started sharing the Lord, and it was so exciting. But then they started talking about evolution. Well, remember, all I knew was you take evolution, put it in the Bible, and there's no contradictions. That's what the Sunday school teacher taught me, so it must be true. So that's what I put out there. Man, the co-pilot, he just started twitching, and it was just really interesting because it's a very tight place there, and you see this guy twitching, and I know something's not right. And he looks at the pilot, and then he looked back at me, and he said, "Carl, I'm sorry, but that's incorrect." And I was like, "Well, really, why is that?" And he did what I tell people I'm eternally thankful for. He opened the Word of God, and he said, "This is what the Word of God teaches. This is what the world teaches." And he showed me like five contradictions, and I was blown out of the water. And I said, "Man, where did you learn to think like that?" And he told me about your book, The Lie, Evolution.
The Lie, that's interesting. That was published back in 1987. And by the way, 23 years later, it's still in publication. It's still one of our bestsellers.
Well, it teaches people how to start from the Word of God to give answers for their faith and not take your wisdom, your thinking to God's Word and tell Him what He meant. And that's such a vital missing component of what is in the church today. So he told me about that book. And when I got back to Salt Lake City, I ordered it. And when I got it, I read it in one night. And that's a literal truth. I read it in one night and I said, "This is it. This is the piece that makes the Word of God real." I'd never seen that. And that's when I got totally excited about my faith and found out about you guys and started working as a volunteer for a long time.
Well, that was Carl Kirby's testimony about how he first got into thinking about creationism. And in this next segment of the same program, Carl talks to Ken Ham about various bits of material from his talks and the various subject matter of the talks that he gives. And hopefully this will whet your appetite for some of the talks that Carl will be giving on his tour of England. So as I said, this excerpt is from Wretched Radio, and Ken Ham was presenting the program, stepping in for Todd Friel, and he's interviewing Carl Kirby.
Well, I started off this program today by telling people we're going to talk about apologetics, which means giving a logical reason defense of the faith, giving some answers. By the way, Carl, let me put you on the spot here.
Oh, boy.
What was one of the things that you learned as to what was the inconsistency believing in evolution in the Bible? Just name one or maybe even two things there.
Well, I'll tell you, the key one was the death and suffering issue. I mean, why would a loving God allow such death, pain, and suffering? And that's such a vital, important question in this culture today. And if you have the wrong history, you're not going to be able to answer that question. God created perfection, gave man the freedom to choose. As a consequence of man's action, we see the death and suffering. But what we are raised with is taking man's wisdom and going to God's Word, saying, "God, I know what you wrote. I know you said you created in 6 days and rested one, but you didn't quite understand science, God, so we're going to help you here. Those days are long periods of time. There's a gap in between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. When you do that, you put death and suffering before Adam sinned, and
because
you destroy the gospel.
If you believe in millions of years, and the fossil record was formed supposedly millions of years before man, you've got all this death and suffering and disease and thorns evidence of animals eating each other millions of years before Adam, then that's contrary to what the Scripture teaches.
And why did Jesus Christ come and die on a cross? Because the wages of sin is
death.
And I tell churches all the time, don't give me that mess. If you believe in the millions of years, you've got death and suffering before Adam ever sinned. So that was a major contradiction. And I just think that it's very vital that we, the body of Christ, if we're Christians, and that word in Matthew for a disciple of Christ, that means we're supposed to look like, act like, talk like, think like our rabbi, and Jesus is our rabbi. And there is no way that Jesus believed that those days in Genesis were anything other than days, and that the earth is not millions of years old. Jesus was very clear on those things.
Well, you know, Carl, that's a good segue into the next question I wanted to ask you, because a large part of Answers in Genesis ministry is to reach young people with a message that the Bible is true. And, of course, we know today that young people are just inundated with evolutionary teaching through the public schools, through the media, through the magazines, and so on. Now, at our Creation Museum, as well as in our lectures, DVDs, books, and so on, we want to reach people, young people, with the truth. There's, you know, we try to reach everyone,
right, obviously.
But young people today are really struggling out there, and I know that you have a real burden about reaching our youth with the message of biblical authority. What are you finding when you deal with youth out there today? Where are they at, and how do they struggle with this issue?
Well, it's an amazing thing to see young people, when they see somebody speak with authority and give answers to the questions that they're struggling with, they are totally open. They are hungry. This generation is under attack now more than any generation in the history of our nation. And the questions that they're being asked, for too long they've not been given answers from the biblical perspective. So when I go out and start dealing with issues and answer the questions, and it's the same with every one of our AIG speakers. It's the same response that we all get. When you start showing them how to start from the Word of God to deal with the death and suffering issue, to deal with the race issue, to deal with fossils, to deal like Dr. Minton does with eight men and those types of things, they get excited. I'll give you two specific examples. 2 days ago, email from a young lady named Sarah, 12 years old. She wrote and said, "Thank you so much. I just attended all of your speaking up in Jackson, Michigan, and I am in school now. Please pray for me because I'm standing up. I've got answers to give to these folks that are telling me another way of dealing with things." And today, just today, before walking in here, I sent in a DVD to a young man who's going to do one of the presentations that I gave. He said, "Please send me that presentation because I'm going to go into my school classroom and I'm going to give that presentation." So these young folks get up, get excited, and start giving answers.
Well, Carl, how about telling us some of the things that you actually say in those lectures?
Well, we'll deal with all kind of materials. I mean, to me, we've got to show folks that the Word of God isn't just old and outdated. It deals with very contemporary and relevant issues, such as the eight men issue, like Dr. Minton did, the whole EDA thing, showing the television show that the Link television show, what they actually had and what they said about it, and showing the inconsistencies, doing the same thing with the fossils. Here's what they say that they've got. Here's what we actually see in the world. I like taking the evidence and saying, here's the evidence. Here's what we read in the Word of God. Here's what we see in the world. Wow. When you start from the Word of God, what we see in the world is absolutely consistent with what the Word of God teaches. We've got to give answers. Races, that's a big heartbeat of mine. You know, we've got to, we in the church have dropped the ball on that issue and teaching folks that we all go back to one man and one woman, that there's only one race, the human race, and only by starting with God's Word can you ever deal with that issue. So we'll deal with that. We'll deal with the media, how the influence of the media, because all those other talks that we take, those specifics, like fossils and those types of things, then in the media we go in and we start dealing with clips from various movies and television shows. Here's the way that they're infiltrating the message throughout the culture. Here's how to recognize it, and then here's how to give an answer to those issues.
Well, I'm Ken Ham, and I'm subbing today for Todd Friel. And Carl Kirby, one of our dynamic speakers at Answers in Genesis, is my guest in this segment. Carl used to be an air traffic controller, but now he works full-time at the Answers in Genesis and Creation Museum ministry. Carl, in a typical Answers in Genesis conference, you obviously tackle lots of different questions, lots of different issues. What do you find are some of the most asked questions that people will come up and present to you?
You know, it's an interesting thing to see. Young people or more mature people typically have the same questions. And what I'm seeing from the younger generation is that they're the same questions as when I first started with you in ministry a long time ago. But the way that they ask them now is much more aggressive. And death and suffering is a big one, a very big one.
You mean, how can you believe in death and suffering if there's a loving God? How does that fit together?
Exactly. I mean, that is a huge, huge issue because we see so much suffering in our culture today. And so I see a lot of young people that are blaming God for all of this. And so that's a big one that comes up quite a bit. Even, believe it or not, the whole race thing. I was just down in Miami speaking at a school of 1,000 high school kids, and that was the number one question that they were asking. How did you get all these different colored people? How did you get all these? Because that's a very diverse area down there in Miami. How did you get all these different colored people if we all go back to one man and one woman? So that was a big issue. And dinosaurs, of course, that's always a big issue. How do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? That comes up at almost every seminar that you go to. So they're just pretty standard. Those are the pretty standard questions that you get.
So did dinosaurs go in the ark?
Absolutely. Two of every, seven of some, land-dwelling, air-breathing animals. God knows he was there, and he told us what happened.
I'm just checking, just to make sure. But the Bible doesn't use the word dinosaur, you know.
Right, exactly. But there's a Hebrew word, katanin, and that word there literally, when it's translated, means a large, non-domesticable animal. And when you see that word used, and it's used over 60 times throughout the Scripture, when you read the descriptions, especially like the one that you use so well is in Job 40, and you read about Behemoth, there's an animal that is so big it could drink the River Jordan, not even think about it. That's a big animal and has a tail like a cedar tree.
So you think that was a dinosaur?
There's no doubt. I mean, it doesn't fit anything that we see today, but it fits very well with what we know about sauropod dinosaurs. And by the way, Job is after the flood, so it went on the ark. It also came off.
One of the talks you give is entitled The Best Evidence for Creation. Mm. Okay, you've got all these people listening out there, and if I was to say to you, okay, Carl, what is your best evidence for creation? What would your answer be?
Let me tell you a little story. That talk came about as a consequence of a conversation with Dave Menton. Dave Menton hit me up one time, and he said, Carl, if I was standing on Mount Ararat inside of a petrified wooden structure, that'd be the second best evidence that God judged sin with a global flood. Now, as a speaker, I'm always looking for a hook, and I said, okay, you got me. I'm hooked. What would the best evidence be? And I'm so embarrassed, but he said to me, he said, Carl, the Word of God. As a Christian, we've got to make a decision. Are we going to allow God's Word to be our authority and our standard, or are we going to use man's wisdom? And if God said that there was a global flood, there was a global flood.
And
he was there.
And if there was, we'd expect to find what?
Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth.
I just want to make sure you knew that.
Well, I've been
and do we find that, Carl?
Absolutely. That's why we go through the fossils. That's why we go through, let's look at the world around us. What we see in the world is absolutely consistent with what we read in the Word of God. We don't need to be ashamed or afraid of our faith. God is good.
Even though God's Word is the best evidence in that sense, nonetheless, we do deal with evidences, as you've been talking about, whether it be dinosaurs, fossils, whatever it is, not to prove God's Word, because ultimately you can't prove it but in that absolute sense, but to show that if the Bible really is God's Word, and if it is true, and if it is the real history of the universe, then it will make sense of the world, and what we look at in the world will confirm over and over again God's Word.
As you've said so many times, it's like putting on those biblical glasses. When you put on the biblical glasses, what you see in the world absolutely is consistent and confirms what we read in the Word of God. We don't use the world to prove the Word. We start with the Word to understand the world. And God has given us a great lesson in that from His Word.
As an air traffic controller, you learned some things that really helped you, in a sense, explain how foundational the book of Genesis is to the Bible. Quickly give us that.
I call it the bottom strip. You see, as an air traffic controller at O'Hare, I had to learn a completely new system on how to work airplanes. Nobody else does it like this. And what you do is as you get an aircraft, you put strips of paper in this, you pile them up. And the one at the bottom is the one that you've had the longest. And the one that you've had the longest is the closest to the airport. And when you start getting overwhelmed, your tendency is to just start trying to look at everything, and you just get overwhelmed. You have to have a point from which to start to get back in control. The bottom strip. So what I was taught was you get down to the bottom, you start with that aircraft, you move your way up through each one of those aircraft, and by doing that, you can get back in control. The Word of God is that bottom strip to deal with these tough issues.
It's foundational to all of our thinking in every area.
All thinking.
Well, that was Carl Kirby being interviewed by Ken Ham on a special edition of Wretched Radio. And you can find that particular program if you go to wretchedradio.com and search through their archives for the 3rd of June. On that day, the usual presenter, Todd Friel, was not in town, so Ken Ham took the program and he interviewed a number of people associated with the Answers in Genesis Creation Museum ministry in the United States. And that particular segment was with Carl Kirby. Well, as I said, Carl is going to be speaking in England, in various places throughout England, starting from this weekend, as I broadcast at the moment, which will be Saturday the 12th of June in Halifax. If you want to find all the details of all the places that Carl is speaking, then please look at our website, answersingenesis.org/UK. That's answersingenesis.org/UK. And you'll be able to see the details there of the talks that Carl is giving and other ministers that we have, and you'll be able to find the products that have been mentioned on this program. Well, you've been listening to Answers UK Radio, the podcasted magazine program from Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. My name's Paul Taylor, the senior speaker with Answers in Genesis. Don't forget to keep your podcasting software or iTunes up to date so that you don't miss a single episode of Answers UK Radio. Thank you. Goodbye. God bless.